Premanandam. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swami Niti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharne Nivase Sasanyavani Paskacharya Satarane Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yata Parakamalam Sri Guru Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Vitam Sam Sajiva Sadvaitam Sadvaduktam Parijana Sahita Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamscha Panchakalpa Trubhishtha Kipa Sindhavyevita Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavyevinamo Namah Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya in India, reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 5, Chapter 4, The Characteristics of Rishabhdev, Text 10 to 13. So we'll just read the translation for 10, 11, and 12, and then we'll read the Sanskrit for 13, although it's in prose. So Text 10, this is about the sons of Rishabhdev. So you get 100 sons. This is a basic description of the 100 sons. Text 10. Following Bharat, there were 99 other sons. Among these were 9 elderly sons named Kushavarta, Ilavarta, Ramavarta, Malaya, Ketu, Bhadrasena, Indrasprik, Vidarbha, and Kitata. Text 11 to 12. In addition to these sons were Kavi, Havi, Antariksha, Prabuddha, Pipalaya, Avirhudra, Jumala, Chamasa, and Karna Bhajana. These were all very exalted, advanced devotees and authorized preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam. These devotees were glorified due to their strong devotion to Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, they were very exalted. To satisfy the mind perfectly, I, Sukadeva Goswami, shall hereafter describe the characteristics of these 9 devotees when I discuss the conversation between Narada and Vyasadeva. And then text 13, which is in prose. Yavi Yamsa, Ekastir, Jayanteya, Pittur, Adesha Kara, Maha, Shalina, Maha, Shrotriya, Yagna, Shila, Karma, Visuddha, Ramana, Babungu. Do you repeat prose verses? No. Yavi Yamsaha. Younger. Ekastitihi. Numbering 81. Jayanteyaha. The sons of Jayanti, the wife of Rishabhadeva. Pituhu, of their father. Adekshakaraha, following the order. Mahashalinaha, well-behaved, well-cultured. Mahashrotriyaha, extremely learned in Vedic knowledge. Yagyashilaha, expert in performing ritualistic ceremonies. Karma Vishuddha, very pure in their activities. Ramanaha, qualified Ramanas. Babuvuhu, became. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. In addition to these 19 sons mentioned above, there were 81 younger ones, all born of Rishabhadeva and Jayanti. According to the order of their father, they became well-cultured, well-behaved, very pure in their activities, and expert in Vedic knowledge and the performance of Vedic rituals. Thus they all became perfectly qualified Brahmanas. Purport. From this verse, we have good information of how the castes are qualified according to quality and work. Rishabhadeva, king, was certainly a Kshatriya, He had 100 sons, and out of these, 10 were engaged as Kshatriyas and ruled the planet. 9 sons became good preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam, Mahabhagavatas, and this indicates that they were above the position of Brahmanas. The other 81 sons became highly qualified Brahmanas. These are some practical examples of how one can become fit for a certain type of activity by qualification, not by birth. All the sons of Maharaja Rishabhadev were Kshatriyas by birth, but by quality, some of them became Kshatriyas and some became Brahmanas. 9 became preachers of Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavata Dharma Darshanaha, which means that they were above the categories of Kshatriya and Brahmana. So if we know anything, we're going to identify anything, we do it by its qualities and function. Chatur Varna Maya Srishtam Guna Karma Vibhagasana. Guna and karma. And qualities leads to activities. The qualities that something has indicates its function. And if we can't tell the qualities of something, we don't understand what is its function. What is our relationship? How do we behave? So some years ago, I went into a shop in London, and the person who was in the shop, young person, couldn't be more than 20, and I couldn't understand if this person was a man or a woman. I just couldn't. Sometimes I'd say, oh, it's a man. No, it's a woman. Maybe it's a man. Maybe it's a woman. I couldn't understand. And the person had a name, but it was a name I couldn't also tell if it was a male name or female name. And when I left the shop, I thought, why did I even care? Why was it bothering me? Why was I even wondering? And then I understood, if I don't know someone's identity, I don't know how to relate with them. First there has to be sambandha, and then abhideya. If you don't understand what is someone's identity, you can't deal with them. And I understood, if it's a woman, I deal one way, and a man, I deal another way. So I didn't understand how to deal. So in our lives also, we have to decide, what will I do? And this, what will I do, is based on who I am. You cannot decide what will I do unless you first understand who I am. So Prabhupada one time asked the devotees, how do you preach? And the devotee said, oh, we say there must be a God. Prabhupada said, no. First you preach what? Na jayate niyate rakadache nayam bhutva bhavitavana bhuyaha ajona chashasvatoyam prano na anyate anyamaneshi. First you preach this. First you have to preach identity. Who are we? And how do we understand our identity? We understand our identity by our qualities. And this is true on this verses here are talking about both the material level, varna, are the sons Brahmins or Kshatriyas? Or the spiritual level? Are they Mahabhagavatas? Are they above, as Prabhupada says here, above the categories of Brahman and Kshatriya? And all this is understood by qualities. First you understand qualities. From qualities you understand identity. From identity you understand what you're supposed to do and what is your goal. Is this reasonable? Right? You want everything, even a material object. You know, you first, what is the qualities of this? What, and then you can say, oh, it's a microphone. The qualities are an amplified sound. Therefore, it has an identity as a microphone. Then you can figure out its function. So, first we're going to look at the spiritual, and then we're going to look at the material. So if we want to know what is our identity, our ultimate, our real identity, that's important. Yes, to understand our temporary identity is also important. Undoubtedly, that is also important. But most important is to understand our eternal identity. Because temporary identity may be very temporary. Not only the whole world, Bhutva Bhutva Praliyate, but we are also. Krishna says, whoever takes birth, death is certain, and death may come at any moment. You can't say, well, I'm going to live to be 115. So I may only have this temporary identity for another 5 minutes. Yes? So to understand that, Virajan Prabhu calculated that according to Lord Brahma, our whole human life is 8 billionths of a second long. So even if you live for 100 years, it's only 8 billionths of a second in the universe. So to know what is my identity for 8 billionths of a second, that is important. Because one has to know one's function in the world, but more important is what is my eternal identity. Who am I eternally? So Sanatan Goswami comes to Mahaprabhu, Kayami. He says, everyone says I'm a pandit, but I don't even know who I am. If I don't know who I am, I can't understand what to do. So what are our qualities that we can understand who I am? So all of us want eternal life, yes? But we don't want eternal life like some 500-year-old person in a wheelchair, you know, with a cane. We don't want life like that. We want to live forever in youth and health. Yes, is this a fact? Anyone here want to be sick? Anybody? No. Anybody want to be disabled? No. We want to live a vibrant life. This is one of our qualities, and this is one of the qualities of everyone. It's not only that Marila thinks like this. Everybody thinks like this. Even the little insects, even the little ants, if they think you'll step on them, they become frightened and they go away. I want to live. I want to live. So that is one of our qualities. Another one of our qualities is we want to understand. We are very curious. If you want to motivate people, give them a mystery to unfold. And then they'll be very motivated, they'll be very interested. We always want to understand. We want to know. We don't like being in ignorance. It's very frustrating to us that our senses are so limited that I cannot see anything clearly. Huh? It's very limited, very frustrating. We want to understand. And we want to be happy. Everybody wants to be happy. All the advertisements, you know, you buy this toothpaste, you buy this life insurance, and you will be happy. Nobody's advertising, you know, buy this toothpaste and you will become unhappy. And nobody will buy it. And we want unlimited happiness. We don't want a happiness that ends. You know, we just sort of tolerate it, but we don't like that. And we want the happiness to be full of varieties. We don't want to be bored. These are our qualities. If you examine what is the qualities of life, those are our qualities. And we want relationships. The whole world is full of relationships. Even the plants have relationships with insects, and with other plants, and with the earth. Everything is full of relationships. And we want these relationships also to be eternal, and to be full of happiness, to be full of surprises, to be full of variety, and to keep getting better and better. Like in this section of the Bhagavatam, we read about Priyavrata and how his relationship with his wife, Mahirshmati, it kept getting better and better. Usually in the world, relationships are not like that. But we want like that. We wanted the love between our family, our friends, to go on increasing. So this tells us something about who we are. These are the basic qualities of all living beings, everybody. And you could say, oh, some people want to die, they commit suicide. But they don't want to die. If you went to somebody going to commit suicide and you said, I will solve all your problems, would they die? No. So it's everybody. And we can see that these qualities, they are opposed to matter. These are not the qualities of matter. Matter is constantly dying. Constantly. You buy some new machine, you know, you buy a machine and immediately it starts to die. It starts to fall apart. It's called entropy. Everything is like that. Right? You pick a flower and immediately it starts to wither. It starts to get old. Everything. Everything matter, it disintegrates. It starts to go back into undifferentiated. Right? So the tree, it's pulling the sun and the water and the earth, but then again it goes back into sun and water and earth. And matter is full of ignorance. Right? This chair, it doesn't know anything. It doesn't know that I'm sitting on it. It doesn't know it's in Vrindavan. It doesn't know anything. But we want to know. And matter cannot be happy or sad also. This chair cannot be happy or sad. It has no... If I hit it, it doesn't become angry. I like that pastime at Rath Yatra with Srivas Thakur, right? When Harishchandra was pushing him. You know that story? So Srivas Thakur, Mother of Prataparudra, they're trying to watch Mahaprabhu dancing in the Rath Yatra. He's dancing in seven parties. And so Maharaj Prataparudra, who could see that the Lord was dancing in seven parties, he's just, because not everybody could see, so he's watching. And Srivas Thakur is also watching. But Harishchandra wanted to watch. So just like happens here all the time. So Harishchandra was pushing. Srivas, you please, you know, move. And he's pushing him. And Srivas Thakur's like, who's pushing me? Who's pushing me? So then he turns and hits him. Stop pushing me. And then Harishchandra, he was going to retaliate. And Maharaj Prataparudra said, oh, you were so fortunate that you have been touched by Srivas Thakur. I do not have such fortune. But someone who's alive, they have feelings. This is my point. The chair is, I can keep hitting the chair. It will never hit me back. They will never protest. It doesn't care about being happy. And matter doesn't have any relationships. You know, we might think I have a relationship with my car, but your car is not thinking I'm having a relationship with you. Okay? You may think I have a relationship with my computer, my phone. I love my phone, but your phone is not loving you. So if we see our qualities, we can understand our identity. Our identity must not be material. Must be. Because we don't have the qualities of matter. Then from my qualities, just like these sons, by their qualities, one can understand these 10 sons are Kshatriyas, these 9 sons are Mahabhagavat, these 81 sons are Brahmana. But ultimately, by our qualities, we can see that we are not material. Therefore, our actions should be not material. How do you do not material actions? This is a big problem. How do you do this? And because we have this philosophy of Achincha Beda Beda Tattva, we can do this. Everything Krishna is here in his unmanifested form. This is his Vina Prakriti, separated energy. So even matter is the energy of the Lord, and therefore I can use matter in spiritual service. This is our basic philosophy. And we can do everything like that. As we start acting according to our spiritual identity, then more and more we realize our spiritual identity. That is the process of bhakti. Understand first theoretically, I have the qualities of spirit, not of matter. Then, I must be spirit. That must be my identity. Then my job is to act according to spirit. My job is not to act according to matter. We can understand this in a general way. And then we start acting. Oh, let me hear about the spirit. Let me hear about Krishna. Let me talk about Krishna. Let me remember Krishna. Let me go to places like Vrindavan where Krishna has his lila. Let me serve the Lord's mission. And we start acting according to the spiritual platform. Now, not only do we see that we have the qualities of spirit, but we can also see some other aspect of our identity. We talked about Satchidananda and Rasa, but we didn't talk about something else that is also part of our qualities, if I want to know who am I. So how do we find the greatest happiness? This is a great mystery. So materialistic people like Darwin, they say you find the greatest happiness by taking from others and exploiting others. Struggle for survival. Bhagavatam also says, one living entity is food for another. So there may be this idea that I become happy by taking. Just like now in this very materialistic world, we have a global culture of materialism all over the world. And it doesn't matter whether you're in America or you are in France or you are in China, and we have to say, or in India. It's a very materialistic culture. I was talking to some of our Indian body devotees in Texas, and I was saying, it's difficult to be a devotee in America. They said it was much harder in India. They said, in India, the pressure is make money, make money, make money, make money. Get a good job, get a good job. No time for sadhana. So in this materialistic society, we may not understand this aspect of our quality and our identity, because the materialistic society says, take, take, take. Have other people work hard and suffer, and you take. And you exploit. Enjoy at the expense of somebody else. But if we think a little bit, we'll discover that we do not become happy by taking. Like the most gross kind of taking is to steal. So when I was a little girl, I stole something from school. I stole a little spoon. So who here has ever stolen anything in their whole life? We have some very interesting people here. So I remember when I took this little spoon from my school, because I had a little set at home from my dolls, a little plate and spoon and fork. But my spoon got lost. And in the school, they had the same kind of set. So I took the spoon and I took it home. I put it in my bag. But I didn't enjoy that spoon. I never got any happiness from that, because I was taking. Do you understand? You have this, those of you who have stolen, some of you have never stolen anything your whole life, but those of you who have stolen something, did it give you happiness? No, because you're in anxiety. When will I be found out? When will I get into trouble? And any kind of taking, it doesn't give us happiness. When do we find the most happiness? When we are giving. It's a mystery. The materialist cannot make any sense out of this. And they try to explain this to evolution, but they can't really. Because if we are just matter, then we would get the most pleasure by taking. Why would we care about anybody else? But if you have some money and you spend it on something for yourself, you get some happiness. But if you spend it on somebody you love, you get more happiness. Yes, we've experienced this. It's a very interesting quality, that we get more happiness by giving than by taking. So this also tells us something of our nature. This is our dharma. Our dharma is to give. Why is our dharma to give? Because that is the nature of reality. Sarvagatam Brahma Nitya Yajna Pratisthitam. God is everywhere. Sarvagatam is in every place. How do you find him? Where is God? Hiranyakashipu was thinking, no way you could find God. If he's everywhere, you don't have to worry about it. Okay? Where do you find him? Nitya Yajna Pratisthitam. You find God in Yajna. Tapaso Ridayam Sakshat Atmaham Tapaso, the Lord says to Brahma. Tapasa, austerity, Ridayam, heart, Sakshat, directly. Tapasya, the Lord said, is my very heart. Atmaham, Atma, aham, my very self is Tapasya. We think of tapa can also be translated as misery. But when you do sacrifice and austerity out of love, you become happy. In fact, there is no meaning to love without sacrifice. It doesn't mean anything. If you say, I love you, but you will not sacrifice, there's no love. We have all had friends who said, oh, I love you, you are my friend, but then they will not sacrifice for us. We've had this experience. Yes. And then we can understand, oh, it's not my friend. As soon as there's need of sacrifice, they are gone. We call this in English fair weather friend. I am your friend when it's nice for me. When it's not nice for me, I am gone. So in order to have this happiness we are seeking, in order to have these relationships we give. And who is the supreme giver? Krishna. And Krishna is giving light and heat and food and even to the criminals. Krishna is giving everything. So engaging in the activities of spirit means in the mood of a giver. Not like the Brahmavadis. The Brahmavadis also understand, by my qualities, I am spirit, and I should engage in activities of spirit. They also agree with us on that level, but they do not see that our qualities are also that of giving. That is where we find the happiness. So if we want to have the activities of spirit, not only do we hear, but we hear as a servant, to give pleasure to Krishna. We chant as a servant to give pleasure to Krishna. We remember to give pleasure to Krishna. We serve to give pleasure to Krishna. We serve the lotus feet of the Lord, going on parikram, serving the devotees, worshipping Tulsi, to give pleasure to Krishna. We become Krishna's friend and surrender everything to give pleasure to Krishna. We offer worship to give pleasure to Krishna. The essence of spiritual activities is Anya Vilasita Sunyam Jnana Karmama Navitam Anukulena Krishna Nushilana Bhakti Uttamam. And what is the most important word there? That we could debate, I think. But we'll say Anukulena. To please Krishna. To please Krishna. This is our quality. We want to please someone. You see this quality even in a very young child or a very young animal. Do you know that very young animals, animal trainers, if they want to train animals, they cannot use punishment with very young animals. Did you know that? It will not work. If they want to use punishment, they want to beat the animal, they have to wait till it's a little grown up. The young animal will not respond to punishment. But the young animal will respond to affection. Isn't that interesting? A young animal will try to please, just like a little child will try to please. We are actually, this is our quality. We want to please someone. Obedience, okay, but we're more interested in pleasing someone than in obeying someone, yes? So if we understand my qualities are spiritual, and not just spiritual, my qualities are a giver, a servant, then my identity is as a servant, and then my activity should be to please my source. To please whom? To please everybody? Can you please everybody? Independent of Krishna, is that possible? Can you perfectly please your mother? Anybody here, 100%? Can you please your mother, 100%? Your father, can you please 100%? If you have wife, your wife, husband, can you please 100%? It's not possible. I always give the example, the wife, on Monday she makes lasagna, and the husband says, oh, thank you, you have made lasagna. And she thinks, oh, this is how to please him. So Tuesday she makes lasagna, and then he says, 2 days in a row. You cannot perfectly please everybody independent of Krishna, but you can perfectly please Krishna. Vatram pushpam kalam tvayam yome gata prayati tanam bhakti paritam ashtami praetatma. Very simple. To please Krishna. Just a little water, huh? And Krishna is pleased. You don't have to make all these gorgeous flowers. I mean, if you have the money, you should make the gorgeous flowers and not just give water. But if we take everything we're doing, is Krishna pleased? Is Krishna pleased? Is Krishna pleased? Is Krishna pleased? All the time, everything. Everything. When we're brushing our teeth, when we're washing our clothes, if we have a job, if we have a family, whatever we're doing, is Krishna pleased? Is Krishna pleased? That is then my dharma, according to my identity. And of course, if we act that way, then what will happen is our understanding of our identity will become more and more and more specific. Because we are not all just spirit and servants. But we are all individuals. As Krishna said, never was there a time when you did not exist, nor I, nor all these things, nor in the future will we cease to be. We are eternal persons. We are eternal persons. We have always been a person. Person means personality. You cannot be a person without a personality. There are some philosophers of the Vedas who says, yes, yes, we are persons, just that we are distinct from one another. But we also have personality. So it's not just that we are a servant. It's we are a very specific servant. Sanatana Goswami says in his commentary in the 10th canto, chapter 14, I can't remember the verse, I think it's 53. He says that the Lord has unlimited qualities and unlimited jivas, and each jiva is attracted by a particular quality of the Lord. Each of us has our individual service that we offer to Krishna, and only we offer and nobody else offers. We have our individual relationship, like we read when Krishna expands as the cowherd boys. They all had individual characteristics. Certain things they like, certain things they don't like. They had their favorite colors. They have their favorite food. Right? Mahaprabhu, when he's serving prasadam, he's giving everyone their favorite food. So as we start thinking, Krishna, are you pleased? Are you pleased with how I am treating this guest? Are you pleased with how I am treating this dog on the street? Are you pleased with how I am treating my husband? Are you pleased with how I am treating the temple commander? Are you pleased with how I am treating my body? Are you pleased with how I am treating this table? Are you pleased with how I am chanting your name? Are you pleased with how I am hearing the Bhagavatam? As we start getting into this mood, then we start awakening, not only that I am a spirit and a servant, but how I am spirit. It becomes very specific. And one awakens, oh, I am Krishna's servant. I am Krishna's friend. I am Krishna's parent. I am Krishna's beloved. And one starts then developing spiritual activities in that mood. Again, as one understands one's identity, according to one's quality, one will start noticing, oh, I have this quality of thinking of the Lord as my child. Oh, then one can understand one's identity in Vatsalya Ras, and from there one can do one's activities in meditation. So this is our basic process of bhakti. How to understand our spiritual qualities, from there our identity, and from there our actions. So here we are hearing about the nine sons who were on this platform, who were on the platform of Mahabhagavat. They did not identify materially as Brahman, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, anything like that. They only identified spiritually. But we also hear of these sons of Vrishabhdev who had a material identity in which they were serving the Lord. So this is a temporary identity, an 8 billionth of a second identity. It is not, in one sense, it is not very important. But in another sense, it is important because this energy is also Krishna's energy. We are studying now the Chatur Slok in the VIAG. So this is what is very astonishing when Krishna defines Maya. He says, anything which appears to be of value, if without relation to me, has no reality. Know it to be my illusory energy, that reflection which appears to be in darkness. So we can say, what is false? What has no existence at all, no existence. The concept that I am separate from Krishna, that anything is separate from Krishna, that concept is completely false. If you say this table has no relation with Krishna, this finger has no relation with Krishna, this dog has no relation with Krishna, that concept is false. It doesn't exist. It has no existence. But the energy that allows us to think this table is separate from Krishna, that energy is true. Isn't that interesting? The energy that allows us to think that dog is separate from Krishna, that is a true energy, Daivyesha Gunamayi. It's Krishna's divine energy. So even though our material identity appears to be something separate from Krishna, we have some qualities, right? Like here some of them had Brahmin qualities or Kshatriya qualities. So Brahmin qualities. What are some Brahmin qualities? Can anybody tell me what are some Brahmin qualities? Cleanliness. What? Truthfulness. Yes. What?
Compassion.
Compassion. Okay, somebody else.
Religion.
About fearlessness. Thank you.
Religion.
Titiksha, tolerance. Yes.
Religion.
Religion. Oh, very good. Someone else in the back. You can talk loudly. What are some Brahmin qualities?
Learn it.
Huh?
Knowledge.
Learn it in the Shastra. Okay. Also, tolerance. Interesting. The word for tolerance is the same word for forgiveness. To teach others, yes. So if someone has these qualities, they're material qualities, then they can understand, oh, I have the identity of a Brahmin. What are the qualities of Kshatriya? Chivalry. What else?
Resourcefulness.
Kshatriya knows how to use resources. What are other qualities of Kshatriya?
Protection.
Compassion, yes. The Kshatriya wants to take care of all of the people. And leadership, Ishwarabhav. We should not misunderstand this Ishwarabhav. Prabhupada says Ishwarabhav is the desire to protect. It's like the feeling a father has. The king is like the Maha father, wanting to take care. So one sees, what are my qualities? And then one uses those qualities in actions in the world. Now, you can do that materially, or, and this is what's really nice, and really special, and really amazing, because the energy of illusion is also Krishna's energy. We can use that false identity in Krishna's service. How amazing. Does not a thing, when applied, therapeutically cure a disease which is caused by that very same thing? So if we are not totally 100% situated in our spiritual identity, if we still have some material identity, then we have to use that for Krishna. Of course, these varnas, here they're not talking about the ashrams. These varnas only apply in the grahastha ashram. You understand? They only apply to someone in the grahastha ashram because these varnas are how you get your livelihood. That's what varna is. It's the way you work in the world to get your livelihood. So brahmachari is a student. Does a student go to work? No. The student is preparing. Prabhupada says in the second canto, brahmachari means the training in the values of life along with specific training for a livelihood. So for the brahmacharis who go to the grahastha ashram, they are getting trained in the varnas, but are they acting in the varnas yet? No, in training. Then vanaprastha is retired. So what do people retire from? They retire from work. So do vanaprastha people, are they doing their varna? No. We see the kshatriyas in the Bhagavatam, when they take vanaprastha, they stop running the kingdom. When Ram and Sita were in the forest, and the sages said to Ram, please protect us from the demons. And Ram said, yes, I will protect you. And then Sita says, why are you saying you will protect the sages? That's the duty of a kshatriya. And you're here in the forest. You're living in the vana. Why are you doing your varna? And Ram said, well, I already promised, so now it's too late. He said, but anyway, I'm not really vanaprastha. I'm here just to fulfill my father's order. So anyway, the retired people, they don't work, yes? And the sannyasi is dead. So dead people, they don't work, correct? Okay? So students, retired, dead people, they don't go to work. Correct? Am I correct? So only in the grahastha ashram does one have this varna. And this varna is the way, the psychology of one's qualities, how one wants to act in the world. So one looks, and this is between like, you know, 15, 20, 25 to 50, 55 years old. This is how I want to work in the world. Really, these are the qualities of how I want to enjoy in the world. That's really what these are, these varnas. Do I want to enjoy with knowledge? Do I want to enjoy with people? Do I want to enjoy with resources and animals? Do I want to enjoy with arts and science and services and crafts? So, but the system of Vedic society is, okay, this is your false identity. These are your false qualities. It's like a costume in a drama. You know, it's like we wake up in this world and we're already on stage. We already have a costume. And then you have to kind of figure out, you know, in Vedic times, you would get help to figure this out. Your guru, your parents, they help you to understand what is your role. But at the present time, you kind of wake up on stage and you have to figure it out yourself. Okay, what kind of costume am I wearing? What character am I? What role do I have in the drama? But the Vedic civilization says, if you have this set of qualities, you have this identity. You have this set of qualities, you have this identity. This set, this identity. Temporary, false identity. And here's how you can use the temporary false identity to awaken the real identity. So how do you do that? If you see in yourself, I have the qualities of a Brahmana, then how do you use that to awaken the spiritual identity? You protect knowledge, you protect philosophy, you protect truth in the service of Krishna. Again, anukulane, to please Krishna. Please, Krishna. If one has the qualities of a Brahmin, that is very fortunate, because the activities of a Brahmana and the activities of Bhakti have a very big overlap. The Brahmana worships a deity, and in Bhakti we worship a deity. The Brahmin studies the Shastra, and in Bhakti we study the Shastra. And this overlap confuses us sometimes in the Hare Krishna movement, that we can't tell, is this Brahmin Varna or Bhakti? But if you have the qualities of a Brahmana, it's very fortunate, because it's very, very easy to use your material false identity in Bhakti. Very easy. But the idea of the materialistic Brahmana uses knowledge, uses truth, uses philosophy for their own sense gratification. The person in Varnashram, in Vedic society, protects knowledge, protects philosophy, protects truth. And those who are aspiring for bhakti protects knowledge and truth and philosophy simply for the pleasure of the Lord. Then if one has the qualities that one wants to take care of people, we think the Kshatriya is always fighting. Actually, the Kshatriya is not usually fighting. Therefore, Krishna said, happy are those Kshatriyas to whom such fighting opportunities come unsought, opening for them the doors of the heavenly kingdom. Please do not think the Kshatriyas were always fighting. Just like an ordinary man in a family, he is not always fighting to protect his family. But if necessary, he will do that. Generally, he's taking care of his family. So the Kshatriya, Kshatriya means government. They're taking care of the people. Or Prabhupada said also a landlord. They're providing. They're taking the tax money or the rent money, and they're providing food and water and medical education. They're providing all the necessities. So materialistically, if you see you have these qualities, I want to take care of people. I want to give people what they need. Brahmins also take care, but Brahmins take care more on a smaller basis in terms of spiritual guidance. The Kshatriyas, they want to take care of medical and schools and roads and water and food and all these. They want to give, if they are devotees, they want to take care also spiritually. So the materialistic Kshatriya is thinking, I will take care of all these people so they will glorify me. And they will respect me, and I will get to live in a big palace, and I'll be a big person. And after I die, they will put a big statue of me at the top of the mountain. Father of the country. We saw this in South Africa with Mandela. We saw at the top of the mountain, big statue, father of the country, looking out on the city. So this is what a materialistic Kshatriya was. Now, one who wants to engage in bhakti, if they see they have these qualities, then they say, I will take care of people to please Krishna. I will take care of people to please Krishna. I will give people education and food and water and shelter and care and guidance and everything. So Krishna will smile, and I will give them these things in such a way that they will engage in yajna, because the Vedic Kshatriyas engage all the population in yajna. Of course, we are engaging everybody in Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, 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 Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. And if you see that your nature is that you want to generate wealth, because Brahmins and Kshatriyas and Shudras, they don't generate wealth. If you want to generate wealth, and if you're interested in natural resources and animals, if you understand I have these qualities, then you understand my identity as a Vaishya. So the materialistic Vaishya, they want to take as much from the natural resources and the animals as they can. And in the modern day, they cheat. And they make wealth that is not wealth. It is just numbers on your computer screen. And then one day you are very rich, and next day you are very poor. But nothing happened, just numbers changed, right? It's not real wealth. You have, that doesn't happen to real wealth. You know, if you have grains, they are grains today and they are grains tomorrow. If you have a cow, it is a cow today, it is a cow tomorrow. It's real wealth. So if you have a Vaishya qualities, and you understand, my temporary identity is a Vaishya, then you protect the natural resources, you protect the animals, and you generate honest wealth for yajna. And then if you understand my qualities are, I love the arts, I love the skills, I love music and painting and dancing and crafts. I love to be in the services. Then you can understand my identity as a Shudra. So the materialistic Shudras, they want to exploit. They want to say, oh, let me just make as cheap things as possible and get a lot of money. This is the modern Shudras. Let's make everything in the factory. Let's make music and art that pushes people to sense gratification. But if one wants to engage in bhakti, and one has these qualities, then let me make tables that will inspire people in Krishna. Let me make a chair that will please Krishna. Let me make music that will please Krishna. Let me make art that will please Krishna. Let me serve others in a way that Krishna will smile. So even when it comes to our 8 billionths of a second temporary illusory identity, we can use that in bhakti to awaken the real identity. So always we should be thinking, who am I really? All of our decisions are based on our identity. Really be thoughtful. Prabhupada wanted us to become thoughtful persons. Who am I? What are my qualities? I am not of this world. I am not of this world. I am a giver. Let me give to the greatest person. Whatever I am doing, let me do for him. Even if it's something ordinarily in the world, even if it's something by my false identity, the very activities that will entangle me will then free me. And everything we should understand by its qualities. We should not judge things superficially. Prabhupada makes the point here, which he makes, I don't know how many times, hundreds, thousands? It's not by birth. It's not that everybody born in India is pious and everybody born in, you know, Croatia is impious. That's not true. It's just not true. It's not true that everybody born in a high family is high and everyone born in a low family is low. Everything should be judged by its qualities. So ourselves and others, what are the qualities? From quality comes identity, from identity comes activity. And if we do our activities in line with our real identity, then everything, Bhagavad Gita 4:24, everything becomes transcendental. And as we act according to our nature, we realize our nature, we realize the specificity of our nature. Not just in general on the soul, but who I am as a soul. So let us meditate on how can I please Krishna? How can I please Krishna? How can I please Krishna? Even I was sitting next to one Muslim man on a plane. That was Krishna arranged that my plane was delayed and we got on a different plane. And I ended up meeting all these devotees. It was really interesting. And the person sitting next to me was a Muslim. And he was asking me, "So what is your religion?" I said, "Oh, Hare Krishna." He says, "Krishna? Krishna? How do you say that?" He said, "Krishna is very nice." And then I was asking him about Islam, and he was saying, "Yes, our idea is that we should try to please Allah." And this is the point. Everything should be done to please our source, to please Krishna. And if we do that, then we will feel that we are spirit. Someone was saying yesterday, "I don't realize I'm not this body." If we want to realize we're not this body, don't wait for it to fall on you, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says. Don't wait, you know, thus some bucket of nectar is going to be dropped on your head. Woo! Now I realize that. But if we're just thinking, how can I please Krishna in this moment? How can I please Krishna in this moment? How can I please Krishna in this moment? And if we say, "I don't know how to please Krishna," then please, I beg you, read Bhagavad Gita, because Krishna says there how to please him, especially chapter 12, 13 through 20. So thank you very much. Perfect timing. Do we have time for questions? Do we have time for questions? Anybody, questions, comments? We have a microphone here. Hare Krishna. Does it work?
Father, very, very inspiring, your enthusiastic explanation about so many things. A couple of questions I have. One would be more like the question. The first one is, could you differentiate between the Krishna, you give the reference between the two aspects of Maya? The Guna Maya, the three Gunas, and the Jiva Maya. If you could explain the difference between the two. And another question. You describe a spiritual activities in mental perspective.
See the dog as your guru. You see everyone as your guru. You can learn from everyone. So So if you see somebody is sacrificing even materially, if people are willing to sacrifice so much just so everybody will say, Jai Jai, you are wonderful, why can I not sacrifice so much for Krishna? So we can appreciate like that. Many, many years ago, I read about this swimmer who likes to swim in the ocean. And she likes to swim in open ocean, where it's very cold. She has swum between the North and South Island of New Zealand, and she had to swim between a boat and Antarctica and many other places. And to swim, she has to go through very severe austerities. She has to, in the winter, walk outside with just a little t-shirt, and she has to practice being in cold water over and over again until her body gets acclimated to it. So I thought, she's doing all this austerity just to swim in cold water. So she's going to become a seal or a walrus. And I can't do austerity for Krishna. I'm complaining about some austerity for Krishna. So we can appreciate like that. We can appreciate like that. I remember when my children were very small. So some people say, well, if you have small children, then you can't do any service. Even sometimes I say, how are you going to chant your 16 rounds if you have babies? So then I was thinking, I thought there's so many women that with babies, they have a job. You know, they're working 40 hours a week. And then they're watching television and they're walking their dog. And so I can't give Krishna 40 hours a week? What's my problem? If they can sacrifice for money or whatever, why can't I sacrifice for Krishna? But on the ultimate platform, Shradayam Bhutam Dattam, Tapasdattam Bhutam Triyad, Asadhijutite Pardana, Chitakrita Noiha. It's all useless. I mean, we can say, okay, very good, they're in Rajagun. In modern society, if you're in Rajagun, you are very elevated. Or if someone's in Sattvagun, that's very nice. We can appreciate that. But unless it's connected with Krishna, ultimately it's useless. Ultimately, get to a better birth, that's all. And I don't think I understand your first question. I don't understand, I'm sorry. You'll have to ask somebody else because I don't understand your question. But I hope I answered your second question. So does anyone else have a question?
Hare Krishna.
You need to turn the mic so it's like facing, yeah.
Hello?
Yes.
Hindi
na agent.
Your lecture is very nice and very interesting.
Many teachers teach us that after counting the carbon, vowel, you go one. Pavan, Tripan, Chaman, means you should go to
Vrindavan.
You should go to Vrindavan? We're in Vrindavan. I'm sorry, it was hard for me to understand. But at least you're enthusiastic, whatever. It was enthusiastic and it was about Vrindavan, so that's good. Okay, somebody else? Yes.
Possible to satisfy somebody in this material that is really pleased.
You cannot satisfy anyone in this material world separately from Krishna. It is impossible. Don't bother trying. Don't waste even one moment trying to satisfy anybody in this world separately from Krishna.
Is it what you were just saying, that you do something to please others?
Not to please this other. Not just others. This other, this great personality, you please this person. If you try to please anyone separately from this person, you will not succeed and you'll become very bitter and frustrated and sorry. You cannot please your wife 100% of the time. Is that possible? Impossible. Impossible. Sometimes you can please her something, but all the time, not possible. But you can always deal with your wife so that Krishna is pleased. That you can do. If she is pleased, she is not pleased. But Krishna is pleased. That you can do. And that you can do all the time. Just like you work for a company, you cannot always please the customer, but you can always please the boss. But you understand, Krishna is the boss. How do you know that you're pleasing Krishna? First of all, Krishna says how to please him. What does he say? One who is not envious, but is a kind friend to all living entities, who does not think himself a proprietor, who is free from false ego, who is equal in happiness and distress, honor and dishonor, fame and infamy. One for whom others are not put into difficulty, and who is not disturbed by anyone, who is equal to friends and enemies, in heat and cold, honor and dishonor. One who's engaged in devotional service, his mind and intelligence fixed on him. Krishna says, this is how to please him. And how do you know that you're pleased? That Krishna is pleased? How do you know? This is a great secret. Rajaguhyam, it's a great secret. How do you know Krishna is pleased? How do you know you have eaten? So we are going to stop in just 1 or 2 minutes, and then you are going to go eat. How will you know that you have eaten? Do you have to ask somebody, excuse me, did I eat? Am I satisfied? Do you have to ask somebody else? No, you know. So how do you know you please Krishna? Pratyaksha bhagamam dharmyam susukham kartamavye. If we're not feeling susukham, we are not connected. It's very simple. Of course, the sukha comes in many varieties. There's many varieties of taste. It's not all comedy. That's another thing. If we're connected with Krishna, we will feel joyful. It's very simple, and you experience it yourself. And you'll get more and more attached to Krishna and less interested in the false. You'll be kind to all living entities. Your lust and greed and anger will diminish. There are symptoms. It's also like asking, how will I know I am healthy? Don't you know when you're healthy? Do you have to ask, excuse me, am I healthy? Don't you know? You feel full of energy, huh? So when you're spiritual healthy, you know. Pratyaksha, you experience directly, direct experience. You'll know, Krishna is pleased. First you have to follow Shastra, Sadhu, Shastra Guru. They tell you, this is how to please Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is saying, offer your food. Don't eat meat, fish, and eggs. Don't have illicit sex. Don't gamble. Don't take intoxication. Chant 16 hours. Krishna said, don't be envious. Be a kind friend to everybody. So they're giving instructions. So you follow those instructions. Like if you want to know how to please me, you ask me, and I'll tell you. You ask Krishna, he'll tell you. Do this, do this. And you do those things. And if you're doing those things with the desire to please Krishna, you will feel happy. You will feel free. You will feel detached from the material world. Your bad qualities will diminish. You'll experience. Yeah, I think there was one lady in that pink had a question. That will be the last question. You still have a question? Yes? And then we'll end.
How to serve Krishna with
what? Without ego. No, you don't want to be without ego. You want to be with real ego. So in the beginning, our ego may be, I am a Brahmin, I am a Kshatriya, I am a Vaishya, I am a Shudra, I am a Brahmachari, I am a Brahmachari. I'm a grahasta, I'm a vanaprastha, I'm a sannyasi. You know, we have this false ego. Take that and use it for Krishna. Protect knowledge for Krishna. Protect people for Krishna. Generate wealth. Protect resources for Krishna. Protect the arts for Krishna. Study for Krishna. Take care of your family for Krishna. Do austerities for Krishna. Become purified for Krishna. And that way you can use your false ego for Krishna, which is wonderful that we can do that. That is amazing. But cultivate the real ego. Jivara Swarupaya Krishnara Nityadash. Cultivate this real ego. Even when you're using the false ego in seva, cultivate the real ego. I am a servant. I am meant to please you. 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 That is our real ego. And eventually that real ego will blossom like a plant, Mahaprabhu says, like a plant, and it will start to get a bud. And you'll see, oh, I am a servant of Krishna like this. You'll start to see your eternal identity with Krishna. That will open. And then more and more, you'll serve Krishna with the specifics of our real ego. Then we will know our real eternal identity, and there's nothing sweeter than that. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Vrindavan Dham ki jai.